Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the QBO show. It's 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 Eastern, so glad to have you aboard. Today for another edition, I think we'll go about 30 minutes today and just go through a bunch of common QBO questions from certification events that seem to be pretty thematic and across all different audiences. And Woody Adams here with Intuit, product consultant, and opinion statements or views that I might express on the show might not necessarily reflect those of Intuit. Intuit's not affiliated with the show. And then, of course, Stacey Kildall is on as well. Stacey, how's it going today?
I think it's going pretty well. I'm nice. In Kansas. Yeah.
Kansas.
I'm
weather
here,
like there?
I'm in
snow yet? Cold?
No, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's a little overcast. It maybe rained a little bit. Just kind of dreary. I'd say it's dreary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
Kind of chilly too. But,
yeah. Not bad.
No, that's cool.
I mean, it could be worse.
I've only driven through Kansas several times, cross country several times, and you always go through Kansas, it's been a long time, so I don't know much about it.
I don't either.
But,
I've only been here a couple times.
Yeah.
I was in Kansas City once a few years ago. I think I'm in 2013 for Find Freedom. So we're in a large. I'm in a
oh,
large
cool.
firm. We're doing large firm training today.
Nice.
Yeah. So
like QBO cert
going on.
Stuff?
QBO cert, yep.
QBO.
It was pretty fun. We had a good time. Good group.
Nice. Nice. So we got some – oh, by the way, MB's here. MB Raimondi's here in Tucson. She's doing a QBO cert on site. Donna Ullman's here. And I forget –
oh, nice.
The other trainer that's been training for a while from California. She's got
Aaron?
A hyphenated last name. You probably know her. Yes. Aaron.
Yep.
So, yep, very cool. It's nice
yeah,
to meet her.
Good people.
Put a face to the name. Yeah, very cool. So,
just
all right.
Want everybody, I want to, wait. I just want to let everybody know I won't have
Please.
The chat open because the Wi-Fi that I'm on is absolutely abysmal. So, no chat, apologize, and it's probably going to be a short show. We're probably only going to do about 20, 30 minutes. Because
yeah.
I got to hop in the car and head out back to Kansas City. We're about 2 hours because Natasha Gorman has a plane to catch. So short show, no
right
chat.
On.
I apologize because
yeah.
that's my fault. Yeah.
No. It's good. I'm glad we're still doing one and keeping on with the questions. Now, we had one hanging over from last week about, remember, when
yes.
you, like how long does the data hang out? And when you log into QBO and you see these canceled companies and it says your data will be canceled, your file will be canceled on November 1st. That's what I had one of those. So I waited. And then yesterday I checked it and it was still there. So I'm like, all right, so it's still there. Let's see. And then today I checked it after this big desktop webinar I had this morning and it's gone. So sometime last night, we do remove it from the servers. I don't know if we archive it somewhere and it could be brought back. I don't know. What happens, but literally a year
gone.
And maybe, okay. So maybe like 366 days, is what we can
yeah.
find. But I mean, 365 pretty close. So when people say, yeah, 365, I mean, that's true. It happened. I went in this today and I'm like, wow, gone. So pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And I think it is gone.
Yeah.
Cause I've had people try contact support, contact care, and they've been told it's
yeah.
just flat out. It's done. It's gone. So
well,
you don't do something
we'll need
for
the space.
That year mark.
Yeah.
Right. You do. You
probably
need
it faster.
Space.
Yeah. and that's why I think a best practice is to convert back to desktop just in case. You might as well. If you're going to cancel it and you have account edition or something, convert it back. Just leave it somewhere just in case in 15 months the client comes back and you know, you could convert back again or something. Anyway, just something to consider.
Right.
Other question, why is it sometimes when you manually pay payroll taxes outside of QuickBooks, it doesn't match up to the liability?
I will explain this.
Manually pay.
Because this.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So So an example of this, I deal with this with the state of Michigan quite often. You can't pay unemployment liabilities through QBOP or QuickBooks Full Service Payroll or even IOP, Intuit Online Payroll for Accountants. What you have to do is you have to tell QuickBooks Online that you've made the payment. But I generally don't recommend doing that until after you've gone, because you have to log into the, it's called the MIWAM, it's M-I-W-A-M, and it's how you pay Michigan unemployment tax. So you go in and you pay your tax, and it's rounding. It's a rounding issue. Usually it's a couple pennies off. And so what you do is you make the payment online to whatever tax agency that you have to make the payment, to which you have to make the payment. And then you just go into QuickBooks Online, and then you can go in and you can, you have to make the adjustment. And usually what you can do is you can post it in QuickBooks Online, and then when the transaction comes in through the bank feed, you can find that transaction, and then there's a way in the bank feed to account for like an adjustment, and you can pick an account for to fix the little differences between, you know, the state's website when you, or the, you know, local municipality website, and then you can do it that way. Or you can contact support and have them make the adjustment, but I find that it's a lot easier just to post the payment in QuickBooks online, make the payment, and then make the offset the difference when through the bank feed.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, through the bank feed. Good to know. Very cool.
Yeah, because you'll click on the transaction.
You choose the appropriate account. Right, you choose the appropriate account, right,
in
the drop-down. Okay, got it.
Yep, and then you'll just say, you know, account for the difference, and then it allows you to choose the account, that, you know, whatever account you want to choose, and then you're good to go.
Oh, you can even choose a liability?
That's how I do it. Yeah.
Isn't it a liability? Yeah, wow, that's pretty cool. Nice.
I mean, you can choose whatever account
you
want, but you generally don't want to choose, you don't want to make, choose a liability account, because QuickBooks Payroll is usually the one calculating. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it's going to throw off your
liability.
But
isn't that impacting the liability? All right. I must be overthinking it. Never mind.
Well, I mean, it depends.
Or underthinking.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what type of liability it is. Like, if it's unemployment, that's an expense. So you're going to post it to an expense account. But if it's withholding, then that's a whole different ballgame. But usually for me, because it's almost always unemployment that I can't pay directly through QBOP and I have to pay outside of QuickBooks Online or IOP, it's generally going to be unemployment, and I post it to an expense account, the same expense account to which the actual liability, you know, is offset by. So that's what I do.
Okay. No, very cool. Very cool.
Here's a question for you. I got a question for you.
Yes. Yes.
If I have a company set up in QuickBooks Online Payroll, which is also referred to as QBOP, is it possible for me or my clients to upgrade to QuickBooks Full Service Payroll, or what is affectionately referred to as QBFSP?
Yes, I believe it is possible. I know that support has to get involved, though, to do something on the back end and then to set it up. But yeah. You wouldn't lose your data. So
now you do have to contact support, and you can also go from Full Service Payroll to QuickBooks Online Payroll as well. But you have to have support do it, I believe. I believe you can go from one to
totally.
The other.
Totally. That
either
one's harder.
Either one has to be. Yeah. Either one has to be done through support.
Yeah, totally. Totally. What if I enter all my clients' info, but they display by their email? How can I change that? So is that when they're like creating the sub and the company name has the email address or something? I'm trying to think of what was that scenario from? Do you remember the question at the event?
So what it is I think this is referring to like when you're setting up the client and the client list, the QBOA. And for whatever reason, it's showing up as an email. I'm not sure exactly where this is coming from, but what I think is the name in the client list is actually the email address. And all you have to do is when you're in your client list is click on the client name, and then click edit, and then just go edit the display name so that it shows up as the client, you know, company name or the you know, the whatever it is that you want.
It's interesting. I sometimes I'll see the name of a QBUA is the email address, and I'm like, wow. And I remember when you set up a QBUA, there is a spot for a company name, but sometimes it's just like you'll see your email address as the name of the QBUA, and it's super easy to change under the gear icon.
Yeah.
Company settings, you just change it. But still, it's just interesting how that happens. So don't be surprised if you see that or alarmed. There's always a way to change this kind of stuff for sure without support.
Exactly. Yeah, without support.
Pretty easy.
If it's your company name
totally.
in the QBO subscription, all you got to do is gear icon account and settings. But
yeah.
If you don't want to mess with the client, and maybe the client wants their email address or whatever, and you don't want to edit the actual QBO subscription,
yeah.
You can do it from QBOA and do it through the client list. If you just click on the name and then go edit, and you can adjust that. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Oh, this is interesting. I'm not really – is there a way to do an invoice template that would invoice many bundles? I mean, I can
– Yeah,
I could create a recurring invoice and just in the target area with the items, I could put all the bundles I want, assuming that's what they mean, recurring transactions.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
totally.
It's one of those things where you can do a template, and I talk about this a lot of times when we do training, and I think I even mentioned it today, where if you or your clients, like if you're an accounting professional and you have clients who have invoices that have a lot of line items, that they use often enough where it's becoming a pain in the ass to enter all those line items,
yeah.
Or it's, but they don't use it on a regular basis, you can create that invoice template. What I usually tell people to do is assign it, like create a customer called like blank, or like underscore blank or ZZZ blank or something like that. So it shows up either the top of your customer list or the bottom, and assign it to, create a recurring transaction to that customer with all of those line items and make the recurring transaction unscheduled so that when they just go to the recurring transaction list and they can just use it when they need it. It's not like it's going to happen every month or every week. They can just go use it whenever it's needed.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a,
that's really cool. Go for it.
I have a question for you. It's actually kind of a two-part question, Woody. Are you ready?
Totally.
Okay. How easy? You're like, maybe not. How easy are price increases for products? Would you do this through import and export, or is there a specific way to do this easily?
So, I know you can bring in the product list again. I was just doing this with desktop on the webinar this morning, and it asks you some questions. But in QBO, I can't remember if you get the question if you want to override or with blank fields without. I mean, you can always import, but I always thought it'd add it to the list, so it doesn't really update. Well, it doesn't duplicate the items, so it adds other ones to the list, and you could change the prices, and it should update the prices in the products and service list. Importing. True. So, so this third party. Oh, that's really cool. So TPI does that?
Yeah.
And updates prices? Oh, nice. Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I always see
so
them as like one-time importing transactions. I didn't know that like people use it periodically for this reason. This is great.
Oh, yeah. So you can use this like a lot of times. I mean, this is Transaction Pro Importer, and there's a blog article, and I'll post this on Twitter right now if I can get online and do it. But this is really cool because what this does is you can use Transaction Pro Importer. Let's say, and the example it says is, let's say a decision has been made to increase all selling prices by 5%. So the first thing that you would need to do is go into the QuickBooks data and run an item list. And then you can use Transaction Pro Importer. And I don't know if this is for desktop or if this is for QuickBooks Online, but I know that you can use you can use Transaction Pro Importer to do this. And you can go to, you know, you can go to Transaction Pro Info, you can go to transactionpro.com. You can go to apps.com to find it. And then Karen has tons of blog articles that explain how to use the product. So you should be able to use Transaction Pro Importer to do those changes, I would say.
QuickBooks Online
doesn't really have an easy
great.
Way to
that's
do it.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Let's see. Will the importing transaction program? So yes, it does from the bank too. That was a follow-up question. Like, does it import transactions from the bank? I believe TPI does support importing bank statements, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can import transactions, but I wouldn't use. You don't need a third-party tool to import transactions from the bank, because what you can do is you can download, you can export transactions from, like, you know, whatever bank or credit card into like a CSV file and then import those into the bank feed. And you don't need a third party tool for that. You just go to your banking tab and then you go to update, like where you go to the update and you drop the little menu down and you choose import. So, you know, let's say you're doing a setup right now and you can only go back 90 days. If I need to import bank transactions into QuickBooks Online, I don't need third-party software because I can go to the bank and say, okay, give me everything that's before the last 90 days, you know, from PNC or Chase or whatever bank or credit card, and then I can download those to a CSV file, and then I can import those into the bank feed and quickly add them. So you don't even need to do bank transactions. But if you want to import invoices or vendor bills, or, you know, estimates, purchase orders, anything that's not hitting your checking account or your credit card account, you need third-party software for that. But you can just import
totally.
The bank
that's
feed
awesome.
if it's hitting your bank card, your bank account. Here's one.
Nice.
Can I create a report using can I create a report that just is looking at non-posting transactions?
Yeah, there are already some CAN reports. There's estimates by customer. There's open purchase order detail.
Yep.
Oh, no, sorry, that's purchase detail. But you can filter for purchase orders. There's also some filters, I don't know, posting or non-posting. I think I saw that. But there's also, what's the delayed charge report? It's like unbilled charges or something. But that would also include, it would include time. But that might include also posting transactions tagged to a customer, but still delayed charge. But, yeah, there's several CAN reports that are already there looking at non-posting transactions.
It just really
depends on how many are there.
What,
yeah. Go ahead.
It just depends on what type of transaction it is. I mean, there's already, like you said, there's already CAN reports in there, but if you want to see a report that shows all of the non-posting transactions, I think the easiest way to do it would be to say, give me a transaction detail report and then filter and just select the types of transactions that you want.
Yeah, and what was I going to say? How many really non-posting transactions? So you have estimate, delayed charge, purchase order, delayed credit. Is that it? There's four of them? Non-posting in QBO?
Non-posting transactions are purchase order, estimate, delayed charge, delayed credit, and then time activities.
Right. Time, of course. Sorry, I always forget time. Yeah. Oh, man.
I
it's like,
time
and again,
too.
I was
I
in
I forget
the...
time almost every day.
Yeah, and I was in the desktop webinar. Now, the only reason why I mentioned this is because it was 2.5 hours long for a firm in Louisiana, and I don't do many desktop webinars, so it was kind of fun because it was a chill change of pace, right? And it was just kind of refresher and just a deep dive. There's a lot of stuff, and it's funny. You can just talk for hours on desktop, I guess. But they gave me an agenda, which was really helpful because, hey, we need you to present on desktop for 2.5 hours. I'm like, okay. So they gave me an agenda, which was really fun. Like, I even created a new file and went through the setup wizard. And we're like breaking down all the feature functionality from there. It's kind of like when you go through settings,
right?
That's pretty
cool.
Trying to explain what the product does.
Cool.
It was fun, man. It was fun. And I got to use batch end of transactions to import like 200 checks. And I did, you know, I had all this stuff canned. That's the thing. With desktop demos, you have to prepare to can stuff. But in QBO, if I got a bank feed, man, I'm good. I don't, you know what I mean?
Right?
It's so much simpler of a platform to present on for the most part, unless it's advanced cert, it you know, than say desktop, which has so many more moving parts,
right,
man. It's crazy. It reminded me how robust that app is. Crap. I'm sorry, Stacey. I totally forgot my point. But hopefully the random tangent was okay. What was I talking about? Oh, my gosh. It's okay.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh, payroll.
It doesn't matter.
Tracking labor burden.
Payroll.
Tracking labor burden. So easy. So easy in desktop, man. I was showing, like, a paycheck detail, and I was like, look, see, customer job fill, boom. I was just like, oh, so easy. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, it is really easy. So the one thing I want to look at is this is an odd question to me, and I don't think I've ever had anybody ask it. Is there a way to create custom reference numbers for deposits? And I don't think you can assign a reference number to a specific deposit. Like, you can assign a reference number to a customer payment, but there's no way to assign a reference number to a specific deposit in QuickBooks Online,
right?
I don't think.
A reference number to a deposit?
Like,
when you make a deposit?
Yeah, there's not even a field for that. Yeah, there's not even a field for that. I mean, I guess you could.
Oh, yeah, there is.
You have to do it all the way down at the bottom in the memo.
No, there is a reference number field in between payment method and amount. I'm on it now. I just went here to check.
Yeah, but that, no,
you know,
no, no, but
you,
that's for...
The new deposit?
Yeah, that's for the specific, like, if you have a check number or something, but if you want the entire deposit to have its own reference number, there's no way to do that. The only way to do it would be down at the bottom in the memo field. Because the reference number on those lines are going to be specific to either the customer payment or whatever line item you're adding in the add new deposit section. So I would say yes, you can, but you have to use the memo field.
Yeah, okay.
There's no place to put in a reference number. Yeah.
Well, on the deposit line, though. So I'm seeing it.
Yeah, but that's going to be specific for the customer payment that you've received or the line item for the deposit. If it's not, if the deposit doesn't include customer payments and it doesn't have multiple line items, yes, you could put in a reference number.
Oh, right.
But if you have multiple line items, you have multiple items that you're taking to a deposit, each one of those should have its own reference number. So I would say a best practice for this would be, yes, you can do it, but you have to do it. You have to do it with the memo field, I would think. I wouldn't recommend doing it on one of the line items.
I see it on here. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if that's a best practice, Sharon, totally, I would go with that. Because I'm looking at it, and it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. Per line, maybe. But.
Right.
But the payment, I mean, I don't think the Let me see. Where is that? Oh, right. More audit history. That should show me, like, the deposit linked to the payment, right? Deposit.
Right.
No,
and
not really.
One more comment one more thing that I want to mention is I was just looking at, like, a transaction report in QBO. There's no way to customize, going back to, can I get a report that has all non-posting transactions? There's no way to filter it by posting or non-posting. The only way that you can do it is, I would say, open up a transaction report, right? Choose your date range, and then go into customize, and then under filter, click on transaction type, and then that's where you're going to go in and choose posting or non-posting. So you have to click transaction type, drop that down, and you can either choose all or you can choose posting, non-posting, and that's how you get a transaction report that lists all of your non-posting transactions. So it can be done easily rather than having to select each transaction type, but you got to dig a little bit to get it.
Hey, are the red font questions in this doc we're using, is those ones we already, are those?
No, I think I used those
remember.
For,
what did we?
I think we used those for the articles that we
wrote. Oh, I know what they were for. Right, sorry, got it. Never mind, sorry. So
yeah.
We can ask, so
no,
can
cool.
I do recurring charges, can I do recurring charges ACH? Well, it's funny because I'm the one I think who fonted it red, and I don't even remember. That's pretty sad. Can I do recurring charges ACH automatically? though I can remember that it was 2003 when we added the pay sales tax module in the desktop. Oh, I can remember that stuff. I mean, come on. What the heck's wrong with me? Ridiculous. Of course, I added that into it this morning. Oh man! All right.
Oh, that
anyways,
is so funny.
Can I do recurring? can I do recurring charges ACH automatically to my customers using the online invoice tool? Well, you wouldn't.
No.
If you're doing a recurring charge, wouldn't you use a sales receipt, like
you'd
a direct debit
with,
and ACH?
With
yeah,
yep.
You wouldn't use an invoice,
yep.
Right? Okay, cool. Because it's not AR. Got it.
You wouldn't. No. You would use a sales receipt, automatic, and then use QuickBooks Payments. I mean, you can invoice them automatically, but you can't control the payment that's made to that invoice.
Right, right. The customer payment is not a recurring transaction option. Neither is bill payment or paycheck, but sales receipt.
Right.
Right. So cool. Oh, totally.
Sales
yeah.
Receipt.
So last one for you. How about this? We have bookkeeping clients with flat fees that I'd like to invoice them automatically. So it's kind of
same thing. You're
going to
do the same exact thing. Yeah, you're going to create a sales receipt and you're going to use that automated. You're going to get, you know, obviously you're going to get engagement letter. You're going to get payment authorization form, and you're going to put in a recurring sales receipt that automatically either charges, you know, drafts their bank with an ACH, automatic ACH, or you're going to get a credit card so that the sales receipt hits their credit card every month, which is what we do at Killwell Services. We have them sign their engagement
you guys
letter,
do that.
Payment authorization. Yeah. And that's how we do it. That's how we do everything. It's all of our monthly bookkeeping fees.
And
it's a
5-day fund, but that's not a big deal, right? I mean, it's way better than an AR cycle.
No, it's a 2-day fund. That's a 2-day fund.
Oh, really? For ACH? I thought it was 5. Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
No, I'm pretty sure
it was
5
with the free ACH.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know because I don't have too many that are doing
either way,
ACH.
I mean,
so maybe it is 5 days, but I've never noticed. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the credit card. Okay. Well, hey, I know you got to get to Kansas City with Natasha to get a flight, so we'll stop it here. And we got tons of questions. This is awesome. We got another like 3 or 4 pages of questions like next week, and we just keep rolling. So very cool.
I know we got tons of them. I just have there's one thing that I want to say.
Yep. All right, Stacey, have a safe travel, and Natasha too. We'll
talk to you
guys next week.
See you guys next week.